you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 1 and 2. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instructions, and he meditates on it day and night. Psalms 1 and 2.
O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 17th, 2025. Happy New Year, everyone! And in fact, to continue launching into this new year, God has put it on Pastor Jason Schiffo's heart to have us look at Psalm 1 this week and Psalm 2 next week. As he said, it's a great springboard into a new year with great truths and points of applications for us all. Appreciate Pastor Jason Schiffo's diligence in studying God's Word and preparing to facilitate a discussion with our room of friends. And so we are excited today to look at Psalm 1.
All right, friends. Well, Happy New Year, first of all. Even though we're a little bit into the new year, this is the first time that we've been back together since we began the new year. And in the new year, there's always a lot of talk about doing new things, starting new practices, new ways of doing things. Does anybody here have something new that you're doing that you said, I want to start doing this, I want to make this change in the new year?
Well, I got to say is I'm slowing down, not going quite so fast.
Okay. Well, if you've been going fast all along, then that's a new thing. Anybody else, something new that you're trying to work on or want to do? I know it's hard sometimes to share, especially here on the radio, because then you're kind of held accountable, aren't you? All the people who are listening, every time they see you, they're going to say, hey, how's that thing going? But anybody else?
Nope.
No? All right. Well, that actually might be a good thing. Because sometimes I think what can happen in the new year is we can become so focused on doing new things that we can forget to the validity and the value of old things. Because this thing that the Psalm 1 that we're going to look at today says is an old thing. And maybe for some of us it might seem new to us because we haven't been doing it. We haven't really applied ourselves to what Psalm 1 is going to call us to do. And maybe as we head into this new year, we need to reclaim something that is old, that is profound, and that is powerful, that will lead us back towards and into the presence of the Lord. And so Psalm 1 begins in verse 1, and it says, blessed is the man. Now, I have a bunch of people in my life who, when I said, what do you want to do for the new year? What do you want in the new year? You know what they said? I would love blessings in the new year. I'd love to be blessed in this way or that way or this way. Maybe for them it was blessings in terms of family. Maybe it was renewing relationships that had become strained. Maybe it was the blessing of knowledge by applying themselves to studying more, praying more, whatever it is. They're looking for blessing. Well, this passage begins with, blessed is the man. By the way, the word man there means mankind. It means all of us. It doesn't just mean that this is a blessing for men specifically. This is a blessing for all of us. So it begins by saying, blessed is the man. Blessed is all of us. Now, this is fascinating to me because it doesn't begin with blessed is the king, blessed is the scholar, blessed is the rich. It begins with blessed can be all of us. This is available to every single one of us. There isn't anybody that the beginning of Psalm 1 kicks off that isn't applicable to all of us. All of us have the opportunity to do what this psalm is going to call us to do. All of us have the opportunity. This blessedness is attainable by the poor, the forgotten, the obscure, and those whose names may never make it into history. All of us have a shot and an opportunity at this. Now, what is it? Well, what's interesting is that this passage doesn't immediately go in and say, blessed are you if you do X, Y, and Z. It begins by saying, blessed are you if you don't do these things. I love how the Bible is very quick to set up some fences for us, to let us know that we ought not to go into these places. We ought not to do these things. Because more often than not, I don't know about you, and I'd love to hear from you, but but I need to be told what not to do than what I need to do. I'm good at doing as much as I can and getting myself in all kinds of trouble. Anybody else with me?
Amen.
Yes.
I need somebody to tell me don't eat the whole package of cookies. I need somebody to tell me don't do this. On my own, I can kill it at getting myself in trouble. But this says don't do this. This says that if you want to be blessed, that the blessed person does not do certain things. And what are those things? The blessed person will not walk in the path, will not stand in, and will not be seated with sin, with scoffers, and with the wicked. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I want to think of it more like this, though. Blessed is the person whose thinking, behaving, and belonging is in the right direction. Whose thinking, whose behaving, and whose belonging is in the right direction. See, the godly person and the ungodly person are very different in the way that they do things. And we have to be careful because we live in a world where ungodly things do appear to be godly, and there are some ungodly things that do appear to be good. There are some places that we will walk and we will stand and we will sit and we'll think, that's not that bad, it's okay. And we need instead to keep our eyes on the Lord and see where he's put up fences, not to keep us from being able to enjoy life, but to keep us from falling into these traps of sinfulness. These patterns of sinfulness.
And Jason, I know you're going to probably address this, but isn't there a progression here that we have to be careful we don't fall into?
Yeah, of course there is. It says here that we walk, we stand, and we sit. And I don't know about you, but whenever I've gotten myself in trouble, that's kind of how it works, hasn't it? I've walked by something, I've kind of said, oh, that's kind of interesting. Then I've kind of stood around it a little bit, kind of, you know, maybe see if it's safe. And then I've said, well, it seems okay, I guess. I can sit down here. And then I've got myself in trouble. Anybody else have that happen?
Yeah.
In fact, I think today we're even, our younger people are even more prone to this, right? Because they're on the internet and they see something and they go, well, I wonder what that is. And then they click the link and then they go, oh, now I'm... And then they go back to it, and they go back to it, they go back to it. Well, what are they doing? They're walking by it, they're standing next to it, and then they're sitting down with it. And so there is a progression and a pattern to this sin, to how sin wants to change what we think, how we behave, and where we belong. And so maybe this year, is just as a spoiler alert for this, maybe this year what we need to do is recommit ourselves to thinking more about the Lord, behaving more about of the ways that the Lord calls us to, and belonging more to his kingdom and less to the world. Because when I think more about the Lord, then I consider what he thinks about things over and above how what I desire from things. And when I think about what he thinks about things, I go, well, he doesn't think that's very good. He doesn't think that's very profitable. The Apostle Paul had the same, he wrestled with the same things, didn't he? The Apostle Paul said, everything, I can do everything. I can do all things. Everything is beneficial. But he goes, everything isn't profitable, though. Everything isn't going to reap a good return. So maybe I ought not do everything. Maybe I ought not stick my toes in every bit of water. Maybe I ought to be careful what I think, how I behave, and where I belong. We do have to be careful because, listen, as smart and as wise as we all think we are, sin is wiser. Why? Because sin knows how we work. I shared this on Sunday morning at church. There was an ad campaign that came at Burger King in 1970. It's considered to be the second most successful ad campaign in all of history. The only ad campaign that surpasses it in terms of success is the Just Do It campaign by Nike. But Burger King's campaign, does anybody know what it is?
Have it your way.
Have it your way.
Oh.
And the tagline for the Have It Your Way was, while we may say we're king, when you're here, you're king. You get to have it your way, any way you want, however you desire it. Here at Burger King, you're the king of the universe. That's what the tagline is. Now listen, why is that tagline, why was it so successful? Because that tagline speaks to the Genesis 3 part of all of our hearts. All of us want it our way. All of us want it exactly how we want it. All of us at the core of our broken, sinful nature want it our way. We want to be king. And so the greatest struggle is, do I want to be king, or am I going to defer and say, no, 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 no. Jesus is king. I'm going to submit the battle of the flesh to Jesus, and I'm going to say that he is king. And that's what we have to do. That's the way of the righteous, the way of the man and woman who is blessed. Now listen, the ungodly have counsel. The ungodly have voices that speak, and they sound like wise voices. They sound like good voices. They sound like they know what they're talking about, don't they?
Yes.
I have heard some very sinful arguments that sounded really good.
Mm-hmm.
But when I opened up God's Word, they weren't good. When I measured them up against what God says, they weren't good. See, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Meaning that we have to, as the followers of Jesus, understand who is around us and understand what voices get prominence in our lives and what voices do not. That yes, that voice is talking, but I don't listen to that voice because that counsel is not good counsel. By the way, Jesus is called what in Isaiah? Wonderful
Counselor.
We already have a wonderful counselor. We don't need another one. We don't need any others. Jesus has already offered himself as our wonderful counselor, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to counsel us. We don't need any other counselors. And nor stands in the way of sinners. This one is so interesting to me because sometimes I think that we, as the followers of Jesus, will stand in places that we ought not stand because we want to have standing or acceptance. And we'll say, well, it's just this. That's okay. Yeah, but listen, this leads to that, which leads to that, which leads to trouble. The minute you're standing, all of a sudden, you're not that far away from sitting. You know, I've been in places where people, I'll have conversations with people, and they'll say crazy things like, well, let's just set the Bible aside for a moment. You're having a conversation. Let's just set the Bible aside for a moment. Okay, Colossians 3 tells me that when Christ, who is your life, appears... Well, if he's my life, then I don't set him aside, do I?
No.
If his word matters more than anything, I don't set it aside. I can't set it aside. His word defines who I am. My identity is found in Christ. And so I can't set that aside. But let me tell you what. The voice of sin will always ask you to set Christ aside. Why? So that it can have a place. So that it can have a standing. And so we need to be very careful with that. And then it says, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The Bible tells us that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that he has prepared a place for us to be seated also. We already have a place to sit. We don't need to be given an opportunity to sit with scoffers. And nor why would we want to? We want to be very, very careful. And so what we need to do is we need to exercise discernment in all of these situations. Does anybody know what discernment is?
Well, I guess it'd be just understanding of what you're talking about.
Right, understanding what's being talked about. Anybody else have an idea what discernment is? What is discernment is about?
Kind of a wise assessment of wisdom.
Okay, wisdom, yeah. Discernment is kind of weighing things, right? You're taking something that somebody's handing you and you're weighing it up against something that is already known, something that you already have. Now, Jesus told us, have the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus even said, it's better that I leave. Why? So that you'll receive the counselor, the guide. And what will he do? He will remind you of everything that I have taught you. He will remind you of my being with you. He'll remind you of what I have commanded. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Christ. And so we have been given the greatest discernment tool ever, the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, eight times in 11 verses, to walk in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to seek the Spirit, to be guided by, empowered, and led by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is our greatest discernment tool. Because the Spirit is always going to take what is given to us and bring it over and measure it up against what Christ says. And on top of that, we have God's Word to be able to help us discern, which is what verse 2 says, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He says, listen, you don't do these things. You know why you don't do these things? Because you are seeking God. You have his word open. You are reading it. But listen, it doesn't just say that you're reading it. It says that you're meditating upon it. That you're doing what Paul says in Corinthians 10, taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And what's interesting is this word, the law of the Lord. We sometimes want to think about law like maybe the first five books of the Bible or the commands of God. In the Old Testament, and throughout the Psalms especially, the law of the Lord is used to describe the entire word of God. So what the psalmist is saying here is that our delight is in all of God's word, every single bit of it, every jot and tittle. This is what Paul said to the Ephesian elders, right? I didn't hesitate to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Paul's saying, I love it all. Even the difficult stuff, even the stuff I don't understand, even the stuff that I struggle to agree with because it's difficult. But I love it all, and I want to meditate upon it, which means that doesn't just mean that I did my devotional reading today. That means that I took that and I read it, and then I wrestled with it all day long. I thought about it all day long. Sometimes I think that we want to get through and read our whole Bible in a year. We want to read so much that we've made it impossible to wrestle it. I'll be honest with you. I try my best to read the Bible in a year. I have a whole plan. I have all kinds of things. I even have an app now that dings and tells me. I'm just really trying my best. But I never really quite get it. And the reason I don't is because sometimes I can't get beyond one or two verses. Because I'm just wrestling those in my mind. What does that mean, God? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for us? Why can't I do that? Why is it such a struggle? Why is it so hard? How will this draw me closer to Christ? There's so many different things. I think that there's not enough time spent meditating upon the Word. And I would change the word. I'm not altering God's word, but let me maybe add a word. How about we, instead of meditate, let's think about marinate. That we get that word and then we just marinate in it. You know, because when you marinate in something, it gets in there. All the flavors get inside of you. All of the nuances get inside of you. That's what we're trying to do. And the psalmist says day and night. This is interesting, right? Because it says in Deuteronomy 6 that we're supposed to impress the word upon our children when we get up, when we lie down, when we go to sleep, when we go out and we walk along the road. That sounds like day and night. That all throughout the day we're thinking about the Lord. And if I'm thinking about the Lord all day long, if I'm meditating upon his word all day long, what am I less likely to do?
Sin.
I'm less likely to walk in the way, to stand in and to sit with sin. Yes. I'm much more likely to do that because I'm cognizant of the presence of the Lord. I'm cognizant that he's leading me and guiding me.
Jason, you've done teachings on this in the past, but maybe it's a good one to address here. Not only should we personally meditate on it, but that havarim where we wrestle through it with others and get their input, their thoughts on the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I think that we have to do that totally with other people. I think that whatever you learn that day, part of the meditating and the marinating pieces as you go along, discuss it with people. What I love to do is whatever I read that morning, I try and discuss it with people all throughout the day. I'll be like, golly, I read this passage today and you won't believe it. I just can't wrap my head around it. I don't know. What do you think it means? What do you think this means? How are you doing that? How are you able to do that? My favorite thing is when I get with atheists and I say, what do you think about that? This is the funny thing, is they'll say, well, that actually sounds like a pretty good idea, but I don't know if I agree with the premise that Jesus is the person who I should do it for. But when I say, you know, to my atheist friend, I was reading today in the Bible, it says this crazy thing like love one another deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And they'll be like, that sounds pretty good. I mean, if we would love each other more, maybe we could be able to get beyond each other's faults. But I don't know how Jesus helps me do that. They don't understand the Jesus part because they're an atheist, but they do understand that this is good and that this is right and that this is helpful, and that moves them closer to Jesus. Now, we don't have that much time, 2 minutes left, but verse 3 says, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Very simple. If you don't walk in the way of sinners and stand with the scoffer and sit, if you don't do that and you delight in the Lord and meditate upon his word all day long, Jesus says what this says, you'll bear good fruit. You'll be like a tree that's planted in the greatest place ever that bears all of its fruit in season. And by the way, when you bear fruit, good fruit, everybody around you benefits. Somebody once told me that. I was at Curtis Orchard, and I was standing there, and I think it was Randy Graham, and he said, when this tree bears good fruit, everybody benefits. The animals, the people, the birds, everybody benefits, including the tree. But how do we benefit here, it says? By meditating upon his word, delighting in it. What gets you excited? What makes you happy? Is it coming into the presence of the Lord and getting in his word and learning more about him, loving him more and knowing him more? See, let's not start the new year off by doing something new. Let's start the new year off by doing something old, something from the Old Testament, which is avoiding the pitfalls of sin by following the Lord more closely.
I always say that no matter what you're doing in your physical work or play during the day, always do it with the Lord, and the Lord will bring joy to your life.
Mm-hmm. And I love the closing words of Psalm 1, verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Dear one, the Lord will watch over. He'll walk with you today. He'll help you navigate your steps. If you're open to his leading, don't be surprised on how he'll use you to accomplish his will. He's a good and loving God, and he wants all to know about his love. May we be those vehicles he uses in this new year, the days ahead. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.